All right. Well, today's message, and there's, again, so many directions we could go, but I really wanted to focus on this thought, worthy is the Lamb. And that's where we're going to focus our attention today. So I started thinking about what is it worth? And for those, again, maybe a little bit of the nerdy, my son was into Pokemon. You've heard of Pokemon. I know Chris has a Pokemon hat. Don't spoil this for the rest of us, okay, Chris? He probably knows this. But they had the little cards, and your characters would battle each other. But there was a particular card that evidently was very rare. It was a holograph, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Charizard. Got it? Holograph Charizard Pokemon card. What do you think, this was, I think on eBay it sold, what do you think this Pokemon card sold for? Was it $11, A? B, $999? Or C, $11,999? Yeah, amazingly, it was almost $12,000 for a Pokemon card. And yeah, I'm thinking, didn't Ryan have one? I don't think Ryan ever got one of those, but you know, what's it worth? Well, how about something a little bit more that all of us can relate to? You've probably got a quarter in your purse or your pocket or somewhere at home. There was a time when they were printing the coin pressing machine, when the T got a smudge on it, on a batch of Kansas State quarters, and its motto accidentally altered from "In God We Trust" to the far more thought-provoking "In God We Rust." That error didn't last long, but the irregular coins made it out into the world, and they're now valued at around so much each. Are they still just worth a quarter each? Are they worth $100 each? Or are they worth $250? Think, how many A, how many B, how many C? Yeah, B is the right answer there. So if go, so now everybody's going to go home and look through their quarters. Do I have one of these? It's worth about $100 on eBay, I think, or for a coin collector. That's what it's worth. Now, I never got into this, but I know I had some friends who had daughters that were very much into the American Girl dolls. And some of them, I guess they started about 1986 or so. Of course, for whatever reason, some of these, they were kind of a collector doll. I guess you weren't supposed, one of those things you weren't supposed to play with. You were just supposed to leave it in the box if you were collecting it. But these dolls have been known to go for more than A, $165, B, $2,800, or C, $4,200. How many think it's A? How many think it's B? And how many think it's C? Well, this is kind of a trick question. The 165, I was curious because this is what they sell for now. If you want to buy a brand new American Girl doll, it'll cost you about $165 for the doll. That's not including all the accessories and everything that go with her. But generally speaking, some of the older original American Girl dolls have been selling for about $2,800 on eBay. And I guess Samantha, I think is her name, one of the original ones, in pristine condition actually sold for about $4,200 on eBay. So what's it worth? You know, there's that famous line that is from Shakespeare's play, Richard III, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. I know I've used it, and normally we don't actually use it the way Shakespeare intended it to be used here, but the thought of, you know, I need something small right now, and I'm willing to give up something really big for it because I need it right now. In this case, in the play, the king's horse had been killed underneath him, and he's looking for another horse to be able to ride into battle and lead his troops, but that idea of something insignificant. Well, you're wondering, why is this? Why talk about all this? Why talk about worth? Because we're talking this morning about how Jesus, the Lamb, is worthy why he's worthy and what he is worthy of. And ultimately, the truth is that he is worthy of our very lives. I didn't print it on here, but hopefully your mind goes with me to Romans 12:1, where as Paul's talking about the plan of God that he worked through Jesus Christ, we get to 12:1, it says, "Therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, to offer your lives as a living sacrifice, for this is your reasonable or expected way to worship God." Our very lives he is worthy of because he was willing to lay down his life for us to deal with the problem of sin that each one of us face. And praise God, he is worthy because he not only died, but he rose again to prove who he is and that he has the power to deal with our sins and to change our lives. He died for us that we might live for him. I love as John begins Revelation and the Lord reveals himself to John and shows him not only who he is, but he goes, "I'm going to show you things that are yet to come." In that very first encounter that John has with the risen Christ, Jesus declares this about himself, Revelation 1:18. Says, "I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." Very first, at that whole start of Revelation, we learn later that there will be many times that Jesus is worshipped and declared worthy. But at the very beginning, we see he is worthy because he is the one who's truly conquered death and the grave. I love that as we were singing. Some of those songs this morning may have been a little newer to you, but "O death, where is your sting? O hell, O grave, where is your victory?" Because Jesus is now the master of that. That's what it means with keys. He holds the authority, the power over that. And today, I want us to celebrate his worth, to declare to the world that he is worthy of our worship, of our service, and of our very lives. And today we confess that Jesus changes everything. He is the one who truly history revolves around. Well, today if you would turn with me to Revelation 5, we're going to look into that a little bit more deeply and read about how Jesus is worthy because of his sacrificial death to redeem people, to redeem us to God. Beginning with verse 1, Revelation 5. "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was written on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and opened it?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the 4 living beings and among the 24 elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which represent the 7-fold Spirit of God, which is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of him, of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the 4 living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with this incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked again, and I heard the voice of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive riches and power and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. John presents for us here a scene in heaven that is part of the drama, the unfolding drama and story of the redemption of the human race and honestly of all creation that has been tainted by sin. And there's some symbolic language in here, but don't get caught up in that and miss the point that Jesus is declared worthy of our worship and to open this scroll. Now, we're not, you know, scholars debate exactly what this scroll is, and we can't say with 100% certainty, but it seems likely that the Lord's trying to tell us here is that it's the title deed to this world. That creation is God's, and He holds the title to it. He holds the deed for it. And it is tainted by sin, but how is that deed, that scroll, able to be opened? Because one who is worthy, who died to redeem us from sin and to restore what was broken and fallen, He is the one who is worthy. And that is Jesus. He's the one who created the world. He redeemed it. It belongs to Him. Perhaps what is prophesied in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 is what we are seeing here in Revelation 5. Daniel 7 says this, in my vision, or as my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient one and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. This vision that Daniel had as God was revealing to him what was going to be happening in the last days and how God was at work, especially through the people of Israel who were God's chosen people through whom He sent Jesus and worked to make the way for Jesus to come to be our Savior. So often, like I mentioned earlier, we like to focus on the baby Jesus because, I mean, we have a 3-month-old granddaughter and she's just adorable. And we have a lot of friends that have the small, it's adorable, it's watching them, the little smiles, and you might say it's gas. I don't care, she smiles and she's adorable. It's so fun to talk about Christmas because you got the baby Jesus and then you got the animals, and you know. But He didn't come to be that little baby that's so fun to talk about, and you know. He came to be our Savior, the one that died on the cross for our sins. He came to take our place and to deal with the problem of sin, and to redeem us, and honestly to redeem all of creation. Well, in Revelation 5, Jesus is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne. And this again, this is God's way of reminding us that all along He has been working to bring about the fulfillment of the plan of salvation, to redeem this world and to redeem people to Himself. Because this Jesus being described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah takes us back to the book of Genesis, chapter 49, as Jacob is there meeting with his sons and he knows he's getting ready to die. And so he blesses his sons. And this is what he says about Judah. And Jesus is from is one of the descendants of Judah. Here's what Jacob prophesies about him. Judah, my son, is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. All the way back in Genesis, Jacob is talking about Jesus. This is the one who was to come. to whom all nations belong and whom all nations will honor. When it refers to Jesus as the root of David, this refers back to God's promise to David several generations and probably about 1,000 years after the time of Jacob, when as David is king and God has established him as king, God makes David an amazing promise. He told David that his kingdom would last forever. And this promise is fulfilled in Jesus. 2 Samuel 7:16. This promise to David, your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. See, Jesus coming at this one point just isn't an isolated thing. This is God's plan. This is God at work. I forget now exactly where it is, and it should come to my mind, and maybe it will, but one of the gospel writers in one of the letters talks about that Jesus was the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. That God saw when he created us that we were going to fall, and even before the foundation of this world, God was preparing the way through Jesus to redeem and to ransom people back to himself who had fallen out of relationship with God, because that's how much he loves us. I know talking with someone a little earlier about sharing with friends and saying that there's no way God could ever forgive me. You don't know the things that I've done. Well, if God, before this world was even created, made preparations to send Jesus as our Savior and to redeem us from our sins, thank God that his one of my favorite old hymns is grace that is greater than all our sins. God's love is stronger. God's grace is greater. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough to cleanse us and to forgive us of all sin, of any sin. Hallelujah. That's why he's worthy. Jesus is declared to be this lion, but as John looks, he sees not a lion, but he sees a lamb that looks as if it has been slain or has been slaughtered in Revelation 5:6. And then in verse 9, Jesus is declared worthy because by his sacrificial death, he has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Jesus is worthy because he is the Redeemer. I know we have, over the course of my lifetime, as I've got to know people who've answered the call of God to go to, we often refer them to unreached people groups. Folks in this world, many of whom have never heard the name of Jesus. You know, it's kind of sad in a way. It's almost like we're gluttons. I know this morning in the car, I was doing the little search thing because we got a new radio and we didn't have a lot of the area Christian radio stations plugged in. Do you realize that in our area we can get like 3 or 4 Christian radio stations that play 24 hours a day with preaching and music that declare to us the name of Jesus, that he is the Savior? We have how many churches in our community where you can go to any of those churches and hear Jesus is the Savior? And yet there are so many. That's why we do Kingdom Builders, to help those who feel that call. God has called us to go to these people, who many of whom have never heard the name of Jesus. We can't go, but we can partner with those who do go. But this verse is what sustains them and drives them and motivates them. Jesus died. And it says here that he has died to redeem people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. So they're going because they believe God is going to help them reach people from that unreached people group that they're going to. They don't always know exactly how God's going to open the doors, but God does. And I know, as I hear reports in many countries of the Middle East, it's amazing how God is at work among people that are hungry for him, who are looking for the truth or reaching out to God. They're having dreams and visions. And then when Christians come their way and they start interacting, these people will go, wait, are you talking? There's this man that appears to me in my dreams or appeared to me in a vision. Is this the man you're talking about? Who are you talking about? They're saying, we're talking about Jesus. God is at work in our world, reaching out to redeem people as the people of God. Whom does Jesus redeem? Those who put their faith in him as Savior and Lord. He died for people to take the punishment for our sin and our guilt of our sins, to break the power of sin in our lives. He forgives us as we repent of our sin, and he causes us to be born again as children of God who serve him and live for him. Honestly, as I was preparing this message, I just stopped. Because so many of the songs that we sing just came to mind. And as I was thinking about what Jesus did for this, one of the choruses we used to sing, you know, it went like, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. It was kind of hard to do it because we sang it slower like I sang it, but boy, the things I found, I'm going, oh, maybe I can find a copy of this, and wow, they went really fast. I'm not sure I could keep up with that now. I thought about Fanny Crosby. You know her story that wrote so many hymns that she was blind, but talked about seeing Jesus and so many things. And one of her songs was, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. Folks, I hope it hits you as it hit me. Jesus is worthy because he gave his life that we can become children of God. That we can have hope in this world. Something that so many people are lacking. We have hope. We have peace. We have something to look forward to, that knowledge that God is in our lives. He's at work in our lives. He loved us enough that he would die for us. And now he's alive and he lives in us. And he's at work in us, and he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. It's a place where there is no sin, no, there's sickness, no more having to say goodbye to a loved one because there is no more death there. A place that is wherein dwells righteousness. Can you imagine how boring the news in heaven is going to be? No news about somebody had a horrible accident and died. No news about somebody went in and shot up a bunch of people. No news about someone who died from a drug overdose. No news about somebody who died and people are mourning his or her death. Hallelujah. His child and forever I am. He redeems people from every tribe and language and people and nation, and that means he will redeem us. Jesus is worthy of our worship, of our service, and of our very lives. See, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. The Apostle Peter wrote of how Jesus changes everything. In his first letter, the very first chapter, beginning at verse 3, we read this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And I love this. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Wow. Jesus changes everything. You go back through and read through those verses again, and here's what you learn from that, that you are born again as a child of God. You live with great expectation of what will come to pass when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. As crazy as things are, the truth is Jesus really does have this. I love the signs. God's got this. He really, really does. That you have a priceless inheritance. God is not only working in your past and your present, but he has prepared a glorious future for you. You have a faith that will be proven genuine through the trials you endure because you love Jesus, even though you have not seen him. Made me think of the incident with Thomas after the resurrection. We like to call him Doubting Thomas, but really, he wasn't there the first time. He didn't get to see Jesus and experience Jesus like the other apostles and disciples did. He's just saying, I want what you guys saw. And of course, Jesus appears to him, and his expression, Thomas responds with, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We're among those that are like that. We've not seen Jesus face to face. But we believe in him. We trust in him. We get to trust Jesus with our very lives. Because of all these things, and that trust will be rewarded with the salvation of our souls. I've been listening to an audiobook on the history of the church, kind of goes century by century. And I don't say this to scare you or be alarmist, but friends, if you're looking at what's going on in our world right now, it doesn't take very much to see how we could very, it's happening. I mean, I think it's happening right now. That for us to stand up and say, I'm a follower and believer of Jesus Christ, it's going to really, really cost us something. So you better be confident of what you believe in and know why you believe what you believe. Prepare yourself to give an answer for those who ask you for the hope that you have in you. Because see, the early church, those early centuries, they weren't marked by beautiful buildings like the one we enjoy today. So many of those who said, I believe this message about Jesus, I'm going to give my life to him, many of them became martyrs. And yet, through the very blood of the martyrs, those who said, there is no Lord but Jesus Christ, there is only one God, and I will bow my knee to no other. So many of them paid for that allegiance to Jesus with their lives. And again, I don't say that to be alarmist, but I would not be doing what I'm supposed to do as a shepherd if I did not warn you. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your lives. It's coming. But thankfully, Why do we do that? How can we do that? Because we know that one day, either by way of the trumpet or the way of the grave, there will come a day when we will get to see Jesus face to face. And that hope gives us the ability to say, whatever the trials may come, whatever the world may throw at us, I am convinced that Jesus Christ, who he is, who he said he is, that he is worthy of my entire life, even he is worthy of my life. I'm going to live for him because he's the only thing that is truly worth dying for. You see, when you know the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you understand that Jesus changes everything. My question to you this morning is, will you allow Jesus to change everything for you? Got a short video here I'd like you to watch as you consider that question.
Sunday changes everything. The stone has been rolled away. The women have received a message. The soldiers have retreated in fear. The disciples have run to the tomb. Sunday changes everything. Doubts are put in their place. Miracles are performed. The disciples eat breakfast made by the king. Jesus is on the loose. And because Jesus is on the loose, death is conquered. Funeral clothes are cast aside. Light shines forth from the tomb. Hope crushes fear. Faith conquers doubt. Belief moves mountains. Relationship consumes religion. God's love wins. Jesus changes everything. Because Jesus is on the loose, your tears are wiped away. Your sin is washed away. Your life will never be the same. Jesus changes everything. And because Jesus changes everything, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus changes everything.
This morning, I would just invite you, if you've not invited Jesus in, asked him to be your Savior and your Lord, that you would do so this morning, because Jesus truly does change everything. All that he wants to do in your life, he can do if you'll invite him in and surrender your life to him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Lord, I think of what you've done for me. Think of who I was before I came to know you. I wasn't a terrible, rotten person. But I did not know you. I did not know the joy and the peace that I could have because of you. Did not realize how much you loved me for so long. Lord, I'm thankful that you brought people into my life that shared with me this good news that you came to ransom, you came to redeem. I remember that night, surrounded by friends at an altar, and I said, Jesus, be my Savior, forgive me of my sins. And you did, and you made me your child. And Lord, it's been almost 40 years that you have walked with me through so many trials, Lord, and every time you've proved yourself faithful. That, Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if this day I breathe my last, I'm going to open my eyes and get to see you in heaven. Not just wishful thinking, just not the thought, oh, I've been a pretty good person. But Lord, that knowledge, that conviction, that is the foundation, the rock for my soul. And Lord, you didn't do it just for me. You did it for each and every one of us. So this morning, precious Lord, I just ask that your Spirit would be at move among us, those who are present in this place and those who are watching by video. And that this morning, Lord, if there is one who has never said, Jesus, come change everything in my life, that they just whisper that simple prayer. Lord, we know that that's what you'll do because that's what you came to do, to ransom us and make us children of God, to give us a hope for our souls that is steadfast and secure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you make that decision this morning, if you pray that simple prayer, if you ask for a relationship with Jesus in whatever words you may use, please reach out to me. Let me know that you have made that choice to surrender your life to Jesus. Become one of his children, part of his family. Because we want to walk with you through that journey, an amazing, exciting journey of seeing God work in your life and begin to change you. Talk to me after the service. If you're watching online, you can reach out to us, message us through Facebook, go through our website and contact us. But let us know that we can begin that journey together of following Jesus who is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Well, there's a song that's not too terribly old, but it's a beautiful song and it's hopefully our testimony today. It says, oh glorious day, that living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, freely he justifies. I'm forgetting how the lyrics go, but it's a glorious day. And today, in a sense, if you gave your life to Jesus for the very first time, or maybe you've recommitted your life, you drifted away from him, today, you can think of this as your birthday, where you were born again as a child of God. As we finish this morning, let's sing this song together, O Glorious Day.